Bronze Ladle Studios. Here's in Shane and the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me is my co-host, who's not afraid to hit golf balls in church, Jason S.
Happy to be here.
Now, you've been tagged. Yeah, I've seen it all over social media.
Oh,
the comments, they're going nuts. And the different responses from all the influencers and whatnot about some people saying it was cool, some people saying it was irreverent. You know, it's all over the board. Everybody's talking about. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Which network or social network are you watching? Are you following? Is it Facebook?
Next door. It's really just my neighbor and I. Jamie, shout out. When I say everyone, I mean just him. And me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, for the listeners, listeners who are not aware, I'm a local pastor, and I preached it on a Sunday morning. And the sermon illustration, main illustration, was me hitting wiffle golf balls into the sanctuary.
Sounds better what I just said.
For congregants to catch.
I'm a professional.
Right.
And professionals, we leave out those details that detract from the story. So when I say golf balls and then they say, oh, I didn't go out. No, wiffle balls that wouldn't hurt anyone or wouldn't hurt the church, of course. Not.
I didn't say that, though. So it makes sense now why people were terrified when I started having full swings.
They have no idea.
No. Ah! People were legit nervous. And actually, afterwards, I got a text message from one of the listeners of this podcast.
Really?
Saying, what kind of golf balls did you hit into the sanctuary?
Who was it? Let's give him a shout out.
Ann R.
Shout out. Oh,
was asking me. And
my mother-in-law. What up?
Saying she's such, I think she has a gift of encouragement.
Yeah.
I mean,
the
text she sent was encouraging. So awesome. But one of my responses was, if I could go back and do it again, I would have said, hey, I'm not hitting real balls out there, so don't worry about the stained glass. But thinking that someone on those first few rows didn't know if it's a wiffle ball, man, I thought that would also terrify me.
No. I say you use real golf balls and you say, you better confess your sins right now or I'm hitting a screaming worm burner right at you, you know?
It was. I have preached a handful of sermons over the last 20 years, and I would say I've never had more fun than hitting golf balls during a sermon.
I missed it live, and I deeply regret that now. So if you could do it again the next time you preach that exact one, that'd be great.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll let you know. Give you advance notice.
I don't know why you didn't tell me. Shane, don't miss it. It's coming up. Free ticket. It's waiting for you. Front row if you want it. Nah, no thank you.
Well, thanks for watching online. That's great.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so we normally don't do this, and we're not going to go too deep into it, but Jason and I have already been talking, and it's March Madness.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You created a pool on
year.
ESPN. Mm-hmm. There's like 60 people in it or something.
Yeah, about 60.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
You're in what, fourth?
I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing. I'm in seventh.
Nice.
I'm right behind you, buddy. Of course, I was saying Berkeley. How old is Berkeley now? 12?
She's 11 and a half.
11 and a half. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was way off. thanks for correcting me. She's tied with me, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means I'm good or she's good. We're good. We're both terrible. It's all luck. I don't know what that means, but just heads up. Great job, Berkeley.
Hey, shout out.
She's got UConn going, and you do too. And I'm like, that is so easy and predictable.
McCall does too.
Oh, listen. That's like boring.
Yeah.
Okay, good grief. I bet you took South Carolina on the women's bracket.
Well, speaking of South Carolina, my good friend Rudy R.
Shout out.
It's too bad we didn't do his mid first initial and then his last name, because his last name is so great.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
And he chose in the men's bracket South Carolina to beat the Oregon Ducks and go the whole way for his championship.
Wow.
and he, you know, was doing very poorly.
Yeah, yeah, he's
but
not
he,
doing
he
well.
Said this morning when I was talking to him that he thought he was choosing NC State to go the whole way.
Oops.
And instead he chose
hey,
South Carolina.
Credit to him. North Carolina State, still in it.
Still in it. Still in it.
I picked Oregon
yeah.
to go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I watched that game. I'm sure you did too.
Of course.
Double overtime.
So great. It was such a game.
It was brutal. It broke my heart. I really needed that. That was a big time upset.
Would have put you over the top.
Absolutely. Because in my other bracket, I'm in second place. Yeah, and we got a little money on that one, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The gambling there's is about, entertainment.
That's right. I think there's about 40 or 50 in that one, too, and I'm in second place. Okay. And I got U of H going.
Okay.
Got my Cougs.
Now, who is U of H?
University of Houston.
I like that.
University of Houston.
I like that.
So I hope that the A&M game. I'm not. Our listeners don't know, but what? My God! Listen, March Madness is so special, and you're going to hear a lot of people say this, but it's so special because not because every single game is special. That's not at all the truth. A lot of the UConn has crushed their first two opponents.
Yeah.
Purdue looks fantastic.
Yeah, they did great.
I don't know who's going to beat them. You know, so. These games were not exciting at all, but you have plenty, like the Oregon double overtime game, like the University of Houston, Texas A&M, which they're only like 60, 70 miles apart. Awesome. They're pretty darn close.
Yeah.
And holy cow was that. It went to overtime. It was a great game.
And
everybody was fouling out, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, University of Houston's not going to have any players left in overtime. I think you should be able to get back in.
No.
Yeah.
Four out of the five starters fouled out of that game for Houston.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you still won.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So great. Well, anyway. Let's talk about Yale upsetting Kentucky. That,
yes.
to me, was the game of the tournament.
I had Kentucky going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
so
most
that,
people, I had,
that
them going to the, I had them going to as far as I could.
But then Yale got drummed. I mean, it's like, what was – but here's the thing. Here's the beauty of it.
Yeah, come on.
March Madness is one and done. It's one and done, meaning, you know, I heard an announcer saying he had it. He's like, listen, this isn't like all your other sports. In the NBA, it's the best 4 out of 7.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do, same with Major League Baseball, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out who ultimately is the best team.
Yeah.
And in any one game, anything can happen. And that's why we know that. And that's why we don't do the best of one in those formats, because you need to prove it. You know, you need to win 4 out of 7. You win 4 out of 7 and you are the better team.
You are the better team.
That's right. In March Madness, it is one and done. One game. Yale has a better shooting night than Kentucky, and it's over. And people thought maybe Kentucky could win it all. And they lost to Yale in the first round. So that's the beauty of the tournament. It's just you never know what's going to happen, because any given game, anything can happen. Anybody can beat anybody. Now, this year was different from last year in that, and I kind of, you know, I looked at my bracket, and I'm like, I picked all ones and twos to go to the Elite Eight, except for Kentucky was my only three, and that's already bounced. But all my other one and twos are still alive. So
that's what you had in common with Berkeley. Because she essentially looked at the bracket and said, well, one is supposed to beat 16.
Yeah.
One is supposed to beat 8. One is supposed to beat 4.
Yeah.
And so most of her are
– okay.
She didn't choose a lot of upsets.
But guess what? That didn't happen last year.
No, last year.
How many number one seeds we have in the Final Four last year?
I'm going to say one.
We had zero. How many number twos do we have?
I don't know.
We had zero.
Wow.
That's right. No ones, no twos. Not any in the Final Four last year.
Because Purdue lost in the first round
of
16,
right? Yeah, University of Houston, I think, lost in the second round. It was something like that. Got upset pretty early. And it just, a lot of that happened, and I'm like, that year is an anomaly, so this year, not going to be so much. All right, Amy S., don't turn it off just yet.
Well,
okay.
This is talking about sports, but I'm
going
to
transition a little bit.
I'm going to bring up one of your favorite things.
Oh.
Since we last were in these chairs,
okay.
I watched a movie.
What movie? I'm so proud of you.
I watched a movie on a plane.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I watched a movie called Miracle about the 1984. 80?
Maybe it is 80. I think you're right. I think it's 80. I'm thinking of the Dream Team of 84. That's where I get my Olympic.
Yeah.
Stories mixed up, but yeah, 80. You're
so
correct.
1980 hockey.
Yes.
And Herb Brooks makes a speech
Kurt,
saying
Kurt Russell.
Oh, I was unsure. Who did Kurt Russell play?
Wasn't he the coach?
I don't know. If that sounds right.
Do you know who Kurt Russell is?
No, I don't. Was he the man from the Wall Street? The same Wall Street?
No.
Who's that?
No.
It's Michael Douglas, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Are they're similar. Kurt Douglas and
they're both white actors. They're very close, very similar.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm proud of you. Did you like it?
I love almost every movie I watch.
It's a great story.
But I loved it. So Herb Brooks makes this speech.
Yes.
Saying, you know, to his United States American hockey team.
Yeah.
He's saying, if we play this game 10 times.
That's right.
They're going to win 9 of them.
That's right.
But they're not going to win this one.
That's right.
And I was like ready to run through a wall. And I loved it. So I think traditionally, I love an underdog story.
We all do.
Right.
We all do. Sure.
And so I think that's the allure of March Madness.
Yeah.
It's like you get behind that kid from Oakland. Another,
that's right.
Another 14 team.
That's right.
14 seed.
That's right.
Beats a 3 seed.
Yep.
And he made 10 3-pointers.
Almost beat NC State.
Yeah.
Almost.
I think they were 11 seed.
Yeah, NC State was 11.
And then
Oakland was 14.
Oakland 14. And so you have.
Because Kentucky was 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so you have your Cinderella story every year.
Yeah.
And this year they were kind of like, you know, NC State is the only one below a 6 seed that's left.
Wow.
Because Clemson is a 6 seed.
Yeah.
And NC State's an 11, but I'm like, you know, and NC State's a pretty good school, so it's not that surprising. I mean, they were pretty good, you know, before the tournament even, and they're on quite a tear. And credit them. Who knows what will happen? But Oakland would have been that really good Cinderella story, and that's kind of unfortunate that didn't happen. But anyway, no, you always do have your underdogs, but it's rare that. You know, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what's the lowest seed, the highest seed number wise, like the highest number seed that has won the entire tournament. That'd be interesting. 6 seeds. I know we've had 6 seed winners, but maybe that's the highest. Like you've never had anyone 7 through 16 that's won it. You know, the entire tournament. That's just never happened. I don't think
a total of 3.
Okay.
11 seeds have ever advanced to the Final Four.
Oh, okay. Okay.
LSU in 86.
Okay.
George Mason in 2006. And VCU in 2011.
Okay. Okay.
The lowest.
Oh, with
the
Shaka.
Yeah, Shaka
yeah,
Smart.
That's yeah. right. Who's in it again?
The lowest seeded team to go all the way and win the championship was the 1985 Villanova squad.
Okay.
As a number 8 seed.
8 seed. Okay, 8 seed. Wow.
Now this article may have been written in 2017.
Okay.
So we may have to do some research.
We may.
So Scott J.
Scott, shout out.
Can you do some research on us for that?
Scott.
Because
get back from Australia. Get in here.
One thing that's really fun for me about, you've said NC State a couple times. This may be a difficult memory for you. But one fun thing about having a 16 and 11-year-old is that there are moments that I get to tell them about a sporting event that has happened in my past that they've never heard of.
Sure.
And we were talking about NC State.
Yes.
And I said, because NC State had won a couple games, and McCall was asking, I said, you know, McCall, there's one great moment in sports history with NC State, Jim Valvano, in the final game.
Jimmy V,
And they beat a Houston team.
Yeah, Five Slamma Jamma.
In the final, I believe it was 83.
Go Cougs. That sounds right.
And I got to set up the whole story for
nice.
And so this, you know, this last second shot where he throws up an air ball.
Yeah.
And I left it there and said, and then his teammate catches the air ball out of the air and slams it home.
Yeah.
Makes it, and Jim Bavano's running all around.
Yeah.
And then we're telling that story. We're walking to breakfast, and then we watched the highlight on YouTube, and she was like, she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it was so fun to be like,
yeah.
She had that was not something that she knew had happened before, and now I get to show this video clip. Oh, man, that is so cool.
That is pretty neat.
That is really cool.
That is pretty neat. But enough of that story.
Okay.
And that storyline. Amy is, I told you not to turn it off. She probably already did.
Yeah. Well, we love her anyway.
Listen, I'm gonna talk about some of the observations I have from just watching the tournament. And this applies to different sporting events, too. But it's funny because I never thought about this until we just talked about it right before. In the middle of games, they will almost always interview coaches. And what are the why do they even do that? You know, what are they really supposed to say? You know, because I can tell you exactly what they – I have a compilation in my mind of what all of them say. You know, I could be a professional athlete or a big-time coach. Without the coaching or the athletic part, I could do the interviews for them, okay?
Yeah.
And then they never interview the players during the middle of the game. And I guess maybe there are rules against that or something. But then, of course, at the end of the game, they interview the players. And the kid for Purdue, the talk, Edie,
yeah,
he took some heat because, you know, he kind of blew off the reporter or whatever. And mainly, though, because he's saying, this is a team sport. It's not about me or whatever. So I don't want to talk about me. And the reporter's like, well, we want to talk about you. And I'm like, I don't care. So I just thought to myself, why is this even necessary? Because here you go. You ready? We're going to do a little exercise.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay.
You're the interviewer.
Okay.
Who do you want me to be, a player or a coach?
I want you to be a player.
Okay, I'm a player. We just won. Our team just won. Oh. Hit me with a question. I'm ready. Hey, man. You know, get out of here, man. All right,
Shane T.
Yeah.
Congratulations on winning the national championship.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
Oh, indescribable. Indescribable. I mean, the fans, it's so great. It's so great. But here's the thing. We believed in each other, and we never quit.
Yeah,
you know, unlike the other team, that's full of quitters. We don't quit, and that's what happened out here. So yeah, it feels great. It feels great. It's a lot of work, and yeah, there you go. It feels great.
Did your hard work finally pay off?
Oh my goodness, yes, yeah, and we have. I'm telling you, we put in a good 35 to 45 minutes a week. Of working out, at least. You don't want to overdo it, but that's paid off finally. And here you go. And glory to God. And my mom, shout out, love you, Mom. So yeah, the hard work paid off. About time.
Okay, now I want you to be a coach now. Can you
okay.
be a coach?
Yeah,
now?
I have to okay. switch it quick.
Okay, so
all that's true except for the part about saying the other team's full of quitters. I wish they would tell the truth and say something actually meaningful, but they never ever do that.
Oh,
what I want them to what I want to hear is them to say, "Listen, that point guard on the other team, he is a jerk, and he was grabbing me inappropriately several times during the game. You could watch it if you slow that down. I'm telling you, that's not right, and I'm going to file a protest on that dude. But I'm calling it out right now. Something like that." Give us a real story. Okay, but I'll be a coach now. Go ahead. Did we win? Did we win or did we lose?
I think you won.
We won, okay.
Very rarely will they interview a losing coach.
No, okay. That's true. They don't. You're
Occasionally,
right.
Occasionally, you'll go to like a loss of the NFL playoff game. Coach will be there in the like a post-game press conference.
Right, right.
Occasionally, you'll have a losing coach of an NCAA basketball title game.
Okay.
Like in the bowels of the stadium.
Okay.
And they'll be like, hey, coach.
Yeah.
You know, how are you taking a loss?
But we'll go with right after the game's over, I'm the winning coach.
Okay.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm ready.
Shane, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
On winning a national championship.
Thank you.
You know, just take us through that last. How you feeling?
I'm just so proud of our boys, Bobby. I cannot describe to you. I'm just so happy for them. They have put in so much work this year, and here's the results, and they deserve it. So justice was served tonight, and I couldn't be happier. And the fans were great. Everybody's great. It's a team sport, Bobby. It's a team sport,
right?
I'm a small part of that team, all right? So I don't want to get a lot of credit. I deserve a lot, but I don't want to get a lot of credit. It's about the team. And these boys, just wow, just so proud of them, so proud of them. I love these guys. I love them. And it's about love. And we believe in each other. And that's what it takes. And that's what you saw out on that court tonight.
Oh, congratulations. Is there anybody you'd like to thank?
Myself? I don't know. My parents for having me. All the fans. You guys are great. You guys are great. You're wonderful. Everything they say, it's just like one of four canned responses. It's meaningless. When is the last time you heard? Now, Greg Popovich, you know, credit to him. He knows.
For those of you not listening, he's the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs basketball team in the
NBA. He is a tremendous coach.
Yes, he is.
And he is notorious for not having any time for unnecessary extracurricular activities such as in-game interviews.
That must be in their contract that they have to do this.
I'm sure it is. You know, it makes me think of like Marshawn Lynch, mm-hmm. a football player who was just like, I got to be here, otherwise I get fined. But I'm just going to be here and say whatever I want to say. I don't really want to answer your questions. Greg Popovich is just known for yes, no, yeah. Well, we got to score more points than them. You know, those are his responses. And it's true. It's like, this is the dumbest question ever, you know. And he will just – he's pretty rude at times. And it's not about – I bet he's pretty nice to those members of the media, you know, not on camera.
I think that's true.
But in the moment, and he's just like, I got a game to play here, so mm-hmm. no, I'm not. We're done with these dumb questions. But he knows he's gotten in enough trouble that he'll just give the bare minimum because he's just like, this is the dumbest thing ever. What do you want me? And they'll ask him about strategy or, you know, or this, that, and the other. You know, we really picked up the defense, you know, and we stopped them scoring or whatever. And I'm like, okay. Everyone saw that, you know. I mean, it's just the interviews are pointless.
Okay, so I actually love them.
That's why they do them.
And so, but I'm going to bring in coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't know his name. He's been the coach for like 4 years or something,
yes.
3 years.
He was recently very much praised on a show that's new coming out. It's with J.J. Redick and LeBron James. And someone asked,
I don't know his
Coach
name.
Mark Daignault.
Daignault?
Daignault.
Daignault?
Our friend, Andrew S.
Shout out.
He has his own podcast,
I believe.
He
does. It's slightly more successful than ours.
He always gets mad that people pronounce his name incorrectly.
Okay.
Daignault.
Okay.
But I don't know what the right – I can't – I forgot.
Mark.
Yeah, Coach Mark.
Okay.
He was asked, have you heard this praise heaped upon you by LeBron and J.J. Redick?
Okay.
Can I read you his response?
Sure.
Because it
I'd
is
love to
so
hear it.
Good.
Of
okay,
course.
Ready?
I'd love to hear it. Yes.
At the end of the day, all the individual stuff that anybody gets is downstream of the team. If I'm getting any individual recognition, it's because of the way the team is playing. He continues.
Okay.
If any individual player is getting any individual recognition, it is because of the way the team is playing. That's what a team sport is. We've had a nice season to this point, so the individuals can get recognized as a result of that. But everybody has to understand that it's running downstream from the team. And I loved that quote.
It's great.
Yeah.
He's dead on. And the reason that I don't know his name, because he doesn't demand the spotlight.
I don't think he wants it.
I would recognize him because I've seen enough Thunder games.
Right.
Oh, that's him. He's mm-hmm. a short white dude. Looks like anybody else, you know.
Yeah.
And, but he does. He is a very, and I think he likes it to be under the radar, just a low key.
Yeah.
Our whole team is just kind of under the radar. You know, that's what I love about the Thunder, but I'm like, ooh, I'm just so scared come playoff time. I just really am.
There's a real chance they get bounced earlier than people would expect. Earlier than their seed.
I know, but I love them.
I
love
too.
The old Gordon Hayward experiment, not working out so much.
No, let's just sit him on the bench.
You know, and it's funny because I just thought about him. You remember him in March Madness?
I do.
Butler.
Yeah.
And he took that last if that shot had gone, he'd have been the Christian Laettner. Mm-hmm. Of college basketball. Christian Laettner is undisputably the king of the big time shots. You know, because of his last second shot to beat Kentucky, right? It was Kentucky.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
And he's but Gordon Hayward, they were playing Duke, I think, in that final game.
2010.
Yeah, and Hayward had like a beyond half court heave.
Just beyond half court.
It rimmed out. It was unbelievably close.
It would have been the greatest basketball shot in basketball history.
I think it would have been. It didn't go. And so it wasn't meant to be. But Hayward, he was a really good. He went with Utah, and he was really good. And I don't know what's up. Now I just see him, and I'm like, he just doesn't fit in with our team. I mean, I don't know if he's got anything left, but it's not going to be with our team. Anyway, way off topic. I don't want to talk about that. Andrew will talk about that to death. So that's his job, not mine.
You were talking about team sports.
Yes.
And then you were talking about the interview moments and how you didn't like those because you just thought they were just stock. You wanted more honesty in those moments.
Okay. That's exactly right. Yeah. Why do you like them so much? Then knowing that they're meaningless, that they're going to say the same stupid stuff time and time again, why do you like them?
I like the joy and emotion of sports. And so in that, I do think that the interviewer, maybe we need to have the interviewers ask better questions.
Okay. Because what would you ask?
You do ask the question, how do you feel?
Yes.
You know, or, you know, I don't know what I would ask. Yeah. I like to see the emotion. But maybe the follow-up needs to say, so are you saying that the other teams didn't deserve it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the other teams didn't actually work hard.
Right. They didn't work hard. You know, they didn't believe in each other. They didn't love each other. They didn't have team chemistry. Is that what you're saying about all these? Because they won it the year before. Did they not have it? They had it then and they don't have it now? I don't know. It is. Every time they say stuff like that, I'm like, every other team has that same thing. They believe. Yeah. They don't quit. You know, it's just like, this is ridiculous, man.
I guess I just love to see.
They hit the shots and you didn't, or vice versa, or whatever the case is. And a lot of times it's a game of fractions of an inch.
Yeah.
Fractions of an inch. And it's not about necessarily who put in the work or who believes. It's just about fractions of an inch sometimes.
That, you know what? I mean, if we were going to end the podcast after 26 minutes, that would be a great closing moment.
Wouldn't that be a great title of a book about March Madness or something? Fractions of an inch. Feel free to take it and run with it, anybody.
It's very true. Because you are exactly right in the format that the NCAA March Madness has chosen.
Okay.
One game at a time.
Yes.
You have to win.
Yep.
You know, you have to win your five games.
Is that what it is? Five? Okay.
I guess round of.
Unless you have a play-in game, then it's six.
Yeah.
So
you have to win those games.
Yep.
And you don't get second chances.
No.
There's a chance that someone on the other team is going to make a bunch of three-pointers.
It is.
And in basketball, the three-pointer has become like a team can just get hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And just beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and in the NBA, a team can get hot and just beat you, but you have to do that four times out of seven.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I believe they call it regression to the mean. So over time.
Well, and you also have more time in an NBA game. It's four 12-minute quarters.
Exactly, exactly.
And in the NBA, you get 55 timeouts. And in college, you get four for the entire game, right? Is that
right?
I
don't know. It's not nearly as much as
I think
NBA.
It's four for the entire game. I don't think it's some in the first and some. I think it's four for the entire game.
Oh wow! I had no idea.
And they can advance the ball, you know, different stuff like that. And and the NBA needs to take notes on that stuff and stop with the 15 timeouts in the last 2 minutes of the game, because they do that and it just. This is so much more exciting. It's over with quicker, right? But it's way more exciting when you don't have to time out and now we're going to redraw the new play and then 3 seconds of play and then time out and now we're going to spend 5 minutes drawing another play. No. We need to decrease the number of timeouts in the NBA, fix that problem.
Do you think that any major sports basketball league will ever move to the Edlam ending? There's an ending now.
Flexing on me here. I don't know what that is.
Okay. They've tried it in a variety of different sports.
Okay.
Especially different All-Star games.
Okay.
It's not an Edlam ending.
Okay.
Explain
it, and I'll.
So, after the end of the third quarter.
Okay.
They choose. It's whatever the number of the team with the higher points. You add 25 to it.
Okay.
And it's the first team to that point wins.
Oh, right, right. So I've heard of that.
So you don't have a bunch of timeouts and advancing the ball.
Right.
So rather than having a clock determine the end of the game, it's the score determines into the game.
Got it, yeah.
And that way you're not constantly trying to fight the time, and so you're just trying to score buckets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could go really quick or it could take forever.
It's the Elam ending.
Interesting. No.
It's super fun.
To answer your question, I don't see any of them going that direction.
I love it. It's so
It's
fun.
Pretty neat. I agree, but that's too radical.
Yeah,
you know, most sports are already kind of set in their way. I'm proud of the NFL for doing this whole new kickoff thing.
Yeah.
Like that the XFL actually in other arenas have done. And I'm like, well, this is pretty good. I'm not going to go into detail of that, but I'm like,
honestly, that's a good.
That's
what a
very
good,
surprising because they normally don't do that stuff.
A good podcast host move to recognize that is even too far of a rabbit trail on this sports podcast.
Absolutely.
Did you want to talk any more about team sports?
I did. I did indeed. Yeah. So yesterday.
Yeah.
Literally yesterday. I'm very red today because I didn't use sun protection. It was a cold day, but it was very sunny.
Cold and sunny.
Man, those are the days that you get burned because it's not hot, so you don't think about sun protection.
My nose is red.
I guess.
Yeah.
Not really.
I was outside all day yesterday, too.
Well, you probably use sun protection.
I do.
Of course you did.
I wear sunscreen every day.
Of course you did. Your doctor wife would give you a hard time if you
did. I wake up and put sunscreen on every day.
Do not.
I wear sunscreen every day.
You do not.
I wear sunscreen every day on my face.
Is that true?
Yeah. Part of my morning routine, putting my deodorant on, is my morning facial sunscreen.
Is it at least like a moisturizer / sunscreen, or is it just sunscreen?
I'll send you a screenshot of it. I don't know what it is.
Wow. I don't know if I've gained or lost respect for you. That's the funny part about it. I don't know which way I'm going.
But one thing that is going to make me laugh is that my favorite thing about these odd podcasts is, like, you learn things about people that you do not live with.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you've never seen me get ready in the morning.
No.
Right?
Fortunately, not that you know of.
But one of the fun things about you going to Africa is and living in is, like, you're like, wow, that's how you put your socks on
in the
morning or whatever.
Shane wears contacks. I don't anymore, but yeah.
Right? Like, you just all of a sudden, like, wow, JR, he's going to iron his clothes in Africa. Huh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like the stuff you learn about people where you're just like, huh. People live differently than me. I love moments like that.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
So I wanted to confess that on the show.
Okay. you're probably a smarter and better man than me for it. Kudos to you.
So yesterday you're on the sun at a sporting event.
I went to an all day track event. I didn't say all day. I'm talking, this is on a school day too. That's another crazy thing about it. It's like from, 8 o'clock to 10 p.m. It's that long because you got 10 million events. You get literally 10 million.
Are you exaggerating?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Look it up. I'm not. Now, we left around 4 o'clock because we were like, no. Because Levi.
Shout out.
Jay he ran two events. He's very good. And he won one, and he came in second in another, and he came in second in another.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, but they're so spread out that we were like, we're not staying 6 hours of watching, high school girls, the 2 mile run or something like that. It's just not that exciting, and then it gets
maybe
creepy.
Maybe we should take the podcast on the road for we could do a podcast in between two of his races.
Sure.
On site.
Sure, we'll do an in meeting interview that's meaningful
after his race. We can come on over here, Levi. Like, how do you feel about how you did? Did you try your hardest?
Exactly. What do you think about your opponents?
I do think. If players could be honest about if they hated an opponent that
they should.
That would be so awesome.
They should be honest about that.
I think that you could actually see that in some high school sporting events. Like,
probably.
Because sometimes those rivalries in high school are pretty great. You're like,
man,
we beat our rivals. I hate those guys.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So you're outside.
So went to Cache, Oklahoma.
Spell that for me.
Cache. C-A-C-H-E.
I would have spelled it C-A-S-H.
You didn't name the town.
I'm gonna Google this while you're talking. Telling your story.
So we're by Lawton. You can see mountains in the background. Mountains. Huh. And no, it's actually the Wichita Mountains. It's pretty neat. So it goes very nice. Cache High School football stadium is very nice, and they got the track, and they're doing the whole thing. I mean, pole vault, discus, shot put, the whole nine, man. All right, the whole nine. All right.
How many did you watch the pole vault?
Some of it, yeah. I could see it in the
distance.
Could
the students get over the bars?
Yeah, these are high school kids. They're strong.
I've never seen a high school pole vaulter.
I know. How do you even get started in that? Like, I want to be a pole vaulter.
I can't wait because one of our good friends, R. Rocket.
Shout out. I see. We switched. Our listeners aren't smart enough to put that together, Jason. Don't worry.
He says he pole vaulted in high school.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't seen a picture or video, though, so I'm waiting for it.
I feel like he's vertically challenged, and that seems like it would be a hindrance.
Really? You think?
Yeah.
I think maybe it'd be...
The geometry of... I don't know.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. We're getting sidetracked.
You're at a sporting event.
It's an all-day track event. It's a bunch of schools, and I mean a bunch of schools, okay? And your kid's school may have even been... There are private schools there, too.
Okay.
I don't know. Oklahoma Christian Academy. What's the name of your kid's school?
My kid goes to OCS, Oklahoma Christian School. A little bit different than Oklahoma Christian Academy.
I don't know the difference. They're all the same to me.
Yeah, sure.
So here's the thing. they break it up into small school, big school. That's what they kept saying. Like small girls, 1 mile run, a big, large school girls, 1 mile run lineup. You know, you're going to be next. You know, get ready. Sure. We're going to call you. So, so they never compete like the small and the large together. But here's my question. Most of these activities are individual activities. Now, some aren't. Like the relays, they're not. You know, so I get that.
Of course.
But the individual, I just don't understand why it's even, you know, some of these schools are like 2A and some were 6A. There were UConn kids out there.
Wow, it's a big school.
UConn is a very big school. It's 6A.
Yeah.
It's the big of the big. It's the big as they get in Oklahoma. And it just struck me as to why is this necessary. First of all, it's taking way, it's doubling our time. This is ridiculous. We could get this over. It'd be much more efficient. Get this over in half the time if we just put everybody together. And for that matter, why not just run the girls and the boys at the same time? If it's the same event, who cares, right? It's just, you know, because it doesn't really matter. It's not like they had like a finish line with tape and stuff, and they weren't announcing winners or none of that stuff. So it's kind of, anyway, I'm like, let's get this over with. So it got me thinking, why is it necessary to break these schools up? Okay, because when you're an individual, where you go to school doesn't really matter, right? You could go to a big school. You can go to a small school. You can, you know, there. It's not when we break up sports and schools into different divisions, it's almost always based on team sports, and really it's based on football because everything's based on football in Oklahoma and Texas, right?
No.
Yeah, it is.
By no means.
Wrong, because you're from Oregon. You don't know anything about Texas and Oklahoma.
Well,
it's dominated by football, Jason. Let me help you out.
In Oklahoma,
yeah,
you can be in a different class in football than in other sports.
That's because the other sports, finally heard, and they broke free of the powers that be that just care about football. And I'm like, all right, let them do whatever, because we don't really care.
Yeah, so you can be like, you know, you can be like 4A right. in football and right. 2A in the rest of the sports.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But for the most part, we break them up because of these team sports,
sure.
like football, like basketball. And when the bigger the school is, like a UConn school, it's a larger population pool. And therefore, Tony Kornheiser and I have the same theory on this. It's pretty hilarious. He doesn't care at all about soccer, and I don't care much either, other than my son played. And I watched him, and I kind of got into it because of him. But anyway, for the most part, I don't care. But he would see all these countries, and he was just like, you know, the population theory as far in that, say a country like Costa Rica, well, the United States should crush them because we've got way more people to pick from.
Yeah.
Much bigger pool of athletes
yeah.
than little Costa Rica. But Costa Rica could beat the United States, you know, at times, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always work out, but I would have thought it would have worked out, but it doesn't. Anyway, so I've had a similar theory with school size. If you have a high school of 5,000 kids, literally, my son's, Colby.
Oh, shut up.
Girlfriend, Liv.
Shut up.
Her brother, Xander.
Shut up.
Goes to Edmond Memorial, one of the Edmond schools.
Sure. I'm familiar.
He said they had 60 or 70 valedictorians.
What?
Because there's like 5,000 kids in that school.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know. I knew there were a lot of students in the school. I just didn't know how many, and I wouldn't have not known how you could have that many valedictorians. Yeah.
Because they're all, like, perfect. Like, none of them have ever made, and I guess that's how they, you know, each school kind of does it differently,
yeah,
but
sure.
it's just,
they're not
if you've never made a B, then you're, like, one of our valedictorians. So I'm like, 60 or 70 speeches? Boy, that would be a terrible graduation ceremony. He's like, no, we don't. And I was like, yeah, I figured that. Anyway. That's an enormous school. There are big schools like that in Oklahoma. And so if you have 5,000 kids, you've got such a big pool to pull from that you're probably going to have a much better team in these team sports than, say, a school with 100 kids, right?
Most of the time.
Not always, but right. most of the time, yes.
Yeah.
That's why we break them up.
Right. There's one exception in basketball this season. In Oklahoma basketball.
Oh, really? A small yeah. school is doing
yeah,
well?
There's a small school named Dale, not far from Shawnee.
Okay.
That's a very specialized basketball school.
Oh, okay.
And I believe they've only lost one time in the state of Oklahoma the last 3 years.
Wow.
And the starting five was awesome because they all grew up in the same cul-de-sac. And Dayton
no
Forsyth
way.
Is like the leader of the team.
Okay.
And the coach lived in the cul-de-sac too.
Okay.
They've been playing together, this starting five,
okay.
since they were in first grade.
What?
And there's a picture that's circulated on Twitter of the boys with their third state title in a row in 2A.
Whoa.
And then when they were also, when the first time they played together, like in a little rec league, same starting five.
That's funny.
And so they only had one loss all season in the state of Oklahoma, and it's the only loss, I think, in Oklahoma in the last 3 years, including the Tournament of Champions, which is an important event, happens after Christmas in Tulsa every year.
Okay. And what's that Tournament of Champions, what is it exactly?
The Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
You're going to love this.
I am. I think
every
I know where it's going.
Every Christmas.
Okay.
The Tournament of Champions in Tulsa
okay.
invites all the previous winners of each of their state titles.
Okay.
A, B, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A.
Okay.
And you get put together, and they also invite some of the better teams that were, like, let's say, back in the day in 4A, it was always Kingfisher versus Heritage Hall.
Okay.
And like, one would win, one would lose.
Okay.
So they may both
That's
get,
how it works.
They may both get the invite.
Okay.
Right. So that was back when...
Okay.
That was back when Trey Alexander played for Heritage Hall, who now plays for Creighton.
Oh, okay.
So.
Grants Trey.
And then yeah, Trey's dad coaches Douglas, which just won the 4A title.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Dale.
I was wrong about you not knowing Oklahoma sports. Impressive, Jason.
So Dale got beat by Owosso, who won the 6A tournament this year.
Okay.
Owosso has a really, really good kid as a sophomore.
Okay.
My goodness, is he good.
Okay.
He's a five-star recruit. Kansas offer already by the time he's a sophomore.
Wow. Okay.
So. My friend Shane C.
Shout out.
Beat Owosso this year.
Nice.
Had no business beating him, but just coach Shane so
good. He did
good,
it anyway.
He did it anyway. So in all of that, the yes. Tournament of Champions is one of the best weekends in high school sports in Oklahoma because you've got all the best teams from all the classes getting together and say, see who's the best team in all the state, regardless
okay,
of class.
I like that. I yeah. like that. Yeah. Now, because in track and field, once again, most of them, and we were talking about golf
mm-hmm.
because McCall just participated in a tournament.
Yeah,
and that's an individual sport.
It can be.
Do you play as an individual out there on the course?
In high school, golf is a team sport.
Do you play with your team at the same time?
You can if it's a Maxwell event.
Most of the tournaments.
Most every tournament is not a Maxwell event, but occasionally.
And so you're out there by yourself.
Yes.
Playing as an individual.
Yes, playing as an individual for your team.
Okay.
And in golf, there are five players who play, and they take the low four scores.
One of them is irrelevant.
One player, whether it's one through five.
I'm just saying.
And it's not always the five bag that you don't keep that score. They get to throw one out.
Okay.
And then you get to keep the top four.
All right. You're really fighting me. You're being difficult.
No, I'm not.
No, you are. You are. Because you know that it's an individual sport. You're not passing the golf ball to anyone. There ain't no assist in golf. Okay? Is there?
So
correct me if I'm wrong.
I coached on Monday and Tuesday the SNU men's golf team. And when we finished as a team on Tuesday, I took them to dinner.
I'm only listening because my headphones are stuck on my head.
One of the things I told them was, the best thing about what you're doing right now is you get to be part of a team. You're playing for one another, and you're playing for your school.
Wrong.
And when the summertime is when you can play as an individual, and then you can work and hone your craft and your game play as an individual. But the best thing, because as soon as you graduate, you no longer get to play golf on a team. And there's nothing like being part of a team, Shane. It's what sports exist. Sports don't exist for individual accomplishments. Like, sports exist for, in high school and college, to be part of a team.
You just said it, though, in that, so eventually, then, if they go beyond college, then it's going to be an individual sport. It's individual against an individual.
Pro golf is an individual sport.
Tennis is an individual sport.
Sure.
My point is,
okay,
I don't know why the school size that you go to matters and why we're breaking these people up based on their school size. And like, oh, well, so for instance, mm-hmm. Levi, like I said, he won one event. Well, it was a relay, and he won his leg of the relay. I'll say it that way.
Okay.
They came in third. Bethany came in third on that relay. Okay. But he did his part. That's all you can do, you know, on a relay. You do your part.
Because you're part of a team.
In that instance,
yeah.
And in that event, you're part of a team. That's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Then he ran the 800, mm-hmm. which is two laps around. And he's very good. He's very fast. And he came in second.
Wow, that's great.
To, I think, a kid from UConn. And he was like, oh, but UConn's 6A.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what difference does it make what size? That individual school that he went to, it doesn't matter. He lost to that individual to individual. You are on an even playing level mm-hmm. when you both step onto that track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is not a true team sport where you're stuck playing with your other team members at the same time, and which matters greatly how big a pool you have to pull from. You could be the greatest basketball player in the world, okay? Yeah. LeBron James.
Oh, yes. The In Shane and the Membrane greatest player of all time certified.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So you could be LeBron James, and you could go to some small school. And he did go to like a private.
Yes, he's from Akron, but he went to a private school.
Yes, because he was, you know, it was clear at that point from like age three on.
I still have that. Yeah, I still have that Sports Illustrated when he was on the cover and he was 16
years old. It's pretty great.
Oh, man, I love that
and
guy.
I'm like, we were right about that one.
Yeah.
It's not missing on that one. So you could be LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And you could play for some little school. Okay. How big is Oklahoma Christian School? I mean, total students.
Oh.
Just in high school.
Maybe 300.
Okay, 300.
No, maybe less than that.
Okay,
let's say 250.
250.
I don't know. I should.
250 is a medium to smallish school, certainly for Oklahoma. Like I said, when you got Edmund Memorial's, you know,
yeah,
with
let's say 300, maybe it's
with
like
1500 in their graduating class.
Maybe it's like 100 kids per grade, so maybe like right around 350. I wish I should have done research. I didn't know this was going to be part of the test.
We're gonna go with 300. We're gonna go right in the middle
great,
of your
yeah,
year,
yeah.
300.
Okay.
So he goes to Oklahoma Christian School. It's 300 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he's LeBron James, so he's very good at basketball.
Yeah.
LeBron James can't do it by himself, okay?
No, he
can't. Needs other people around him, at the very least, to pass the ball in. Someone has to pass the ball in to LeBron James. You can't pass it into yourself.
Yeah.
I did have one basketball game where everybody on my team fouled out except for one person.
No.
Yeah. So you know what we had to do?
I don't know. You had to pass it off somebody's back.
That's exactly right.
And then
you had to like throw it off the opponent and hope
like,
that you
I'd
got the rebound.
Is it on video? I'd like to watch it right now.
No. Never told you that story?
No.
It is legendary. It was in the BFC league and it was in the playoffs. And we only had five guys that made it out. But we were, and the other team was way better than us. And they had like eight or nine or whatever. And we were toe to toe with them. It was such a great game. I mean, a great, great game. And they had a great player shot threes. It wasn't Skip, but it was someone like that. And it came down to the last minute. We were up, and then he hit a three at the buzzer, like a deep three to take it into overtime. But we already had like one person that had fouled out at that point. But we were all in foul trouble. And all of Bill Garrison was the only one.
Shout out.
You know, a full last name for that. He was the only one left. In the end.
I love
He's
it.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
I love it. What a great
story. And we lost because of that.
Yeah.
You can surmise. So, all right. But LeBron James, small school. He doesn't have a lot of people to choose from, you know, so he's got Shane and Jason on his team.
Oh, man. I'd love to be LeBron's teammate.
Me too. I'd love it. I would be like, well, I'm going to get the ball to him as much as I possibly can. My point is, I bet someone like Putnam City North, high school basketball team could beat our team with LeBron James on it simply because they would triple cover him, take him out of the game, and we wouldn't be good enough to beat him. So it makes a difference. The size of the school makes a big difference when you're playing on an actual team sport, not a fake one like golf, where it matters who is on that playing field at the same time with you. It makes a big difference. But when you're doing an individual sport, it just doesn't matter. And I don't know why we don't just compare apples to apples, individual to individual, on all of these individual sports instead of breaking them up into classes. I just don't know why we do. I don't understand that.
It's probably logistics. It's probably on a golf course, can you only have a certain amount of players for each event? And so at a golf tournament, you have a team champion and you have an individual champion.
Okay.
So it is an individual sport, But the greatness for me for college golf and high school golf is that it's not about you as an individual. It's about playing for your team. When you are out there on the golf course, you are not just playing for yourself. You're playing for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah.
So we talk about that with the coaching staff at SNU all the time.
Yeah.
You are part of a team.
That's cute that you believe that, but your players don't. I'm going to break your bubble right now. Burst
it. Well, I'll say this. I can tell that there are players who play for themselves and there are players who play for the team. And I'm convinced that you will play better if you're not playing for yourself, and if you're playing for someone else.
You got no argument for me there. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I do. But once again, when you're out there on the course, it's just you. It's just you. That's all there is to it. Now, you can have the thoughts of your teammates in your mind and all warm and fuzzies,
and
I don't want to let them down and all that to motivate you, but it's just you. It's an individual sport. In the mile run, it's just you. It's just that one person. You got the coach over there yelling at you or giving you pointers or whatever, but it's just you. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Classification just doesn't matter. And I don't know why.
It's just probably just logistics.
So now, what would make more sense to me is if you did, and I know, see, in golf, they do this where they just, when you have tournaments, they just break it up by age.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, all 13-year-old girls, age and sex, should compete with 13-year-old girls. Now, if you're good enough as a younger person, you could play up. Absolutely, right? In some, you could play in a, like, if you're 11, you could play in a 13 and under tournament or something like that.
Usually that you, even if a 13-year-old was, let's say, going to play up, that you would not win the 15-year-old division. You just would win the 13-year-old division.
That's right. I understand that. But so I'm just saying you could still play in that grouping or whatever. It doesn't matter. Point being, they break it up by group, by age.
Yeah, they do.
And I think that's probably what we should do in all sports, and even high school, is to say, okay, well, you're the number one mile runner of the 16-year-old boys.
You know what? That's interesting. I would probably have to be interesting as far as with track. Track is more be weather dependent. In golf,
it is.
You couldn't just say who shot the lowest score because, you know, an even par at Carston Creek is going to be a really great score. Where it might be the equivalent of like 8 under at Hefner North.
Of course.
So you can't
that's a little unfair.
You can't say that there would
ragging on my home course. I don't dig that.
In golf, oftentimes, like recently, Oklahoma Christian School has two of male players.
Okay.
That both played and won multiple state championships for OCS as an individual, and they now play for the University of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Ryder Cowan and Jackson Dow.
Okay.
And they're both wonderful young men. I know Jackson very well. And I've met Ryder and know him as well. So they were 3A kids that were so good that they're playing at a Division I school and they have a WAGR, which is a world amateur golf ranking. WAGR, WAGR.
You could just be making this stuff up. I don't know.
So if you have a WAGR, if you're nationally or if you're an internationally ranked player, but they just go to itty bitty school.
Okay.
So it is an individual sport, but to me the greatness of high school sports are that you get to be part of a team.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do. And I understand. Listen, I'm being hard on you. And I understand being part. I played on my golf team.
In high school, I know.
I did. Okay.
You did.
Now, I was terrible. And I didn't really care much about the team, frankly. I just liked getting out of school on a school day all day to go play at a nice country club.
So great.
It's pretty great.
The best thing.
For free. I got like a meal for free. I was like, sign me up. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What'd we do? I don't know. I have no idea what place we came in. That's a true story. Most of the time I'm like, I don't know. We didn't do well because we're wall trip, so we don't do well. Anywho.
Can I tell another golf story real quick?
One more. Running out of time. And
so we
good
went
grief.
To,
all of our non-sports fans.
So we went to, we played at Rose Creek this week.
Okay. Nice course.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm not allowed on that course.
We showed up about 6:45 on Monday, and I left dinner with the team about 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
So it's about a 10-hour day golfing.
Long
day. Got your warm-up, then you sign in your scorecards, you get all that figured out, and then you go to dinner.
Okay.
Eat dinner together, and my favorite time together are the team meals.
Nice.
See, when you're part of a golf team, when it's over, you don't just go your separate way to whatever fast food restaurant you want to go to.
Okay.
You go and have a team meal.
Sure.
Talk about your round. And so, so this time I brought sheets of paper and brought everyone a pencil and asked a bunch of questions and talked about your round.
Of course you
did.
They're like, of course Jason did
this.
Oh,
you guys, it was so great. 30 questions over the course of an hour and a half meal. And I collected all those sheets of paper and I let me the next day ask them follow-up questions.
Okay.
About their life and their interests.
Wow.
And it was so special. It was one of my favorite meals we've ever had as a team. And it was so, so neat that and it made me – it allowed me to get to know the players better because it was a team meal because it's a team sport.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you. It's not a team sport. You pretend like it is, and you can give the illusion that you're playing as part of a team, and that's important, and there's a lot of benefits to that. But in the end, it's an illusion because there's only one person out there on a course at a time. There are no assists in golf.
There's no assists in golf. That's a good line. I hope McCall never listens to this podcast.
I love golf. I love golf. You know I love golf. I'm not being hard on golf. I love golf. I'm just simply saying there's a difference between true team sports when there are multiple people out there at a time. And chemistry, and then there's so many things that matter. And listen, all those things when I was making fun of the interviews, that stuff is important. But you never really get to the heart of it. Like, team chemistry is unbelievable. Just like I'm saying how Gordon Hayward, I was kind of excited, but I'm like, clearly he's not meshing with our chemistry.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I see it. When he's out there, he doesn't. Whenever I'm watching any kind of game, I watched the Lakers game last night. Great game.
My gosh.
Great game. No, LeBron James, greatest player. Although LeBron, credit to him, man, he's out there in his hat and his jacket. He's styling and profiling. Of course, it's LeBron James. He's the biggest cheerleader in the bunch, man. You know, he was out there so excited and high-fiving and everything.
It was incredible.
It's pretty.
I
look at certain things to kind of really get to the heart of what's going on. Austin Reeves. He looks like your CPA.
Yeah.
Anybody's CPA, not Jason's CPA, but anybody's CPA. He does not look like a basketball player, other than he's tall.
He is a tall dude.
He's probably like 6'6", 6'7". I don't know his exact height.
At least probably.
I'm going to say somewhere in there.
One of the SNU golfers this week watched him play in Arkansas high school basketball.
Really?
Yeah. We talked about Austin Reeves a bunch.
He's fantastic.
So great.
He does not look like a basketball player.
No.
He does not look like one of the group. And so I'm always looking for... You know, when they're high-fiving and hugging and different things, and when they're all huddled up and talking to each other and everything, and I'm like, this is the beauty of these team sports. It's like these guys have come together. Forget their differences before this time in their life. They are one right now, and that's something that's so beautiful about team sports, and I love it. But Austin Reeves obviously fits into that team well, their chemistry very well. He's a tremendous individual player, but it's clear that they've embraced him. Right, he's not exactly one of them, but they've embraced him, and he understands his role on the team too, and it works. Right, it clearly works.
Yeah, it does. He had 29 points last
week. He was fantastic. Hit that shot at the end. It was so big time. Man, almost hit the one before that rimmed out. That was awesome. Oh gosh, that was great. Anyway, Gordon Hayward, he comes on the team, and it's clear like. He's not one of us, you know? And listen, I don't think, for the record, there's nothing racial involved in that piece of it. I think a much bigger part of this, these guys are all young. They're all, and that's a big part of it, when they're so similar in age, and it's a generational thing in so many ways, because Gordon Hayward is much older than everybody else.
Yes.
Because I look at, you know, Giddy, he's white, right? And Holmgren,
yeah,
you know, and they're different body types. And Giddy's from Australia, you know, and all that. But they mesh much more so because they're just younger guys, and they've all kind of come up in the coming of age at the same time,
yeah.
And they've got so much in common that you can see that they just play together as a team, and it's beautiful.
It's the best.
And then Gordon comes on the court, Hayward, and it's just like he is a fish out of water, man.
He's almost trying to fit in.
He is because he's just not. He's not. So point being, chemistry matters. And when you do that, and on the flip side, when you get a player, I immediately think of Oh, Superman. Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard. Oh, boy.
Dwight Howard is a tremendous athlete. Zero question. But from day one, he was toxic. He was a toxic member of any team he was on, and therefore they never did well. And I don't care how much talent they had. You know, I think of definitely players like – I kind of thought the same of Kyrie Irving, although I've been watching him a little bit with Dallas.
This year.
And he's come around.
I would say DeAndre Ayton, too. He just never fit in with,
really?
with the Suns.
Okay.
And never got along with Coach Monty Williams. And then now with Portland, he's having a hard time, too.
Reggie Jackson. When he was with us, it was just like, this guy's poison. It was clear no one liked him. No one ever talked about it.
Huh.
And that's stuff I wish they would talk about. But they did not like him, and I don't know what's going on there.
Well, James
but
Harden's another person that
he upset the team chemistry, and so you can't just have and then the demise of the Thunder is just these young players coming of age together, but then growing into their own, and then becoming superstars, and then having their own legends and stories being written, and then it was much more about them than the team. And then you have all this it's like an old band, you know, the rock band or something. And then the band eventually breaks up because they're all doing their solo albums or whatever because they think, well, I'm better than the rest of the team or the rest of the rock group or whatever the case is. But our team, it's got that chemistry. And that's where most college teams usually have that chemistry because they don't have all of those egos, you know, yet, right?
Ooh,
so that's why a lot of people will say, and I'm wrapping it up, and I get a lot of people will talk about that, and they'll say, I love the college sports way better than the pros because of that piece. Because you have much more about the camaraderie, that it's about the team, that it's not the individual. And there's something beautiful about that, and it's simpler. It's not about just the almighty dollar and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. My response to that is like, I don't care. The pro game is so beautiful to watch because it is the elite athletes in the world at the top of their profession, and it's just beautiful. You know, I want to see LeBron James going in for some crazy dunk. You know, it's just the greatest thing ever. I love it.
I completely agree. I love the beauty of NBA basketball.
Okay, okay.
College basketball is an inferior basketball product.
Okay.
But the storylines, depending on what's happening,
yes,
going back to the Cinderella story,
yes,
the storylines can be beautiful.
They can be. And along those lines, I'm going long and we're talking way too much about sports. But I thought about this recently, too. It's pretty interesting. I've been watching a little of the women's March Madness.
Oh, so great.
Because there's so – because once you get a really good storyline, South Carolina is a good storyline in itself.
LSU.
Undefeated. Yeah.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
It's all great.
Caitlin Clark with Iowa. You know, I watched that game.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
So did I.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm all in.
Angel Reese. I love them all.
If you have a good storyline. Now, I will say this.
Okay. What's this?
When I watch them, because the story, like the Caitlin Clark, when I watch Iowa play, this is a really close game. That's a good game.
It was great.
Really good game. I'm glad they won in her last game at home and all that. And when I watch her play, this is going to sound bad, but I don't know another way to put it. She looks like a boy out there playing. And when I say that, what I mean is she has the quickness and the power of a lot of the men. Like, her game is quick. When you watch a lot of the other women playing, it's a slower game. You agree to that, right? You can't deny that.
I just want to make sure everyone knows how much I love Beyonce.
Jason for the win.
I
want to be very clear on this. Just because they're two different games doesn't mean that they're not as enjoyable, because there's something enjoyable about each of the games.
It has to do with story. Okay.
Absolutely. And so I'm getting into the women's tournament because of those storylines. I'm getting into the men's because of the storylines too.
Yeah.
But then you watch them, and they're on two different levels, and that's why we don't play them together, okay? And I'm not getting into all that. I'm simply saying, when you have a player like Caitlin Clark, who can shoot these 30-footers consistently, and her crossover is fantastic, and her dribbling is fantastic, her passes are on point. She just – when I look at her, I'm like, that could be a guy out there. I mean, she's playing with that kind of power because a lot of the girls – they're not as strong. I mean, that's, once again, that's not a dog against them. It's just That's the difference in the game. So it's not as fast-paced of a game. It's the passes aren't as quick. They're not as sharp. Now I think in many ways, you know, you talk about fundamentals or whatever, the women's game is they make better decisions than the men. The men are high-flying, and they're going for too many crazy passes, and there's probably more turnovers, I would think, in men's. Yeah, it would be interesting. I think there are. And so the in some ways, the women's game is better, if you want to say it that way, but the high-flying and all that is just more entertaining to me, and I think a lot of people too, and that's the difference there. But all that being said, when you have storylines like Caitlin Clark, it can trump anything on the men's side.
It can.
Because it's such a great, great story. And I would tell her, I'm like, you are an unbelievably huge ambassador for not just women's college basketball, but for women's sports in general, you know, in your position right now. Because you are the talk of the town. And it's a big deal. And so many people are looking at her and rooting for her, like us, yeah. Right? I don't care at all about Iowa.
I don't
need but I'm following them because of her.
Yeah.
And now I think they'll get beat. I mean, South Carolina. If it got to that point, South Carolina's just, once again, they may have LeBron James and Caitlin Clark, but they don't have the team that South Carolina has.
That's very true. Yeah.
So I don't see them.
Can I ask you a final question about track as we wrap
absolutely,
up?
Absolutely. I know. We need to. My goodness.
Jeffrey J.
Shout out.
I think may know the answer to this, but
okay.
It would seem to me that one of the things that would solve your issue with classification in regards to an individual sport that is made up of individual performances,
okay,
would be that every year in Oklahoma, from class A to 6A,
okay,
all A classes, you would say at the end of the year there would be a champion runner,
yeah,
for the mile,
yeah,
and so. You know, you have 8 mile champions.
Yes.
Or maybe it's a 1600. I'm not exactly sure how that works.
It's a 1600, but they call it the mile.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then after all these champions are crowned, 8 different people get to wear a gold medal that they were a state, you know, they were a state champion in the mile.
Okay.
Then there's a gold medal that's twice that size. That it's like the winner who was a, let's say, 4A runner this year won the mile.
Right.
A 2A runner won the 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
100 meter dash?
100 meter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, the pole vault champion was from being an A
absolutely.
School.
Absolutely. That's
but
right.
But then the long jump was from Edmund North.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And you have, like, a banquet of all the champions, and then you get to give them a grand champion
necklace. I love it.
Necklace.
It's essentially your tournament of champions, like you were saying.
For basketball.
That's right. It's the same. They should maybe they do, and I don't know. I don't think they do because I haven't heard
Wouldn't
of it.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like I am a state champion, but I'm also the state champion in all of the different events.
Yeah. Well, for that matter, then I'd love to see then the Oklahoma champion against the other states. You know, I mean, big time.
Maybe now, we just invented something, Shane.
Well, here's what we've done in society to kind of make up for that. We every sport has their private run organizations. Right.
Yeah.
Like you have 16-year-olds will run maybe on a track team or run with a track group out of wherever that they're on a private league with. And then they have tournaments and different things, just like in basketball or football or you name it. There's all these private run organizations and
club
they will typically. That's right.
Summer tournaments,
that's
golf.
Right. Club soccer, all
I'm
that
sure
stuff.
That, I'm sure that former beloved co-host Ken H.
Shout out.
Had the tennis tournaments
of course.
That you're like, that you can compete in.
Of course. So that's what we've done to make up for that. But I would still love to see it of the schools and then the state and then, you know, your eventual national champion of, like, true national champion of literally, you know, I'm the best, you know, in the nation at my individual sport or whatever the case is. So
I would love in basketball in Oklahoma that the tournament champions – taking place the next year at Christmas.
Okay.
Is awesome event. I love it. I'm a huge fan of it.
Okay.
But this year Dale will go there and they'll be missing 5 starters.
Oh, yeah.
So like it would be awesome if the weekend after the state tournament.
Yeah.
You took the 8 winners from all classes.
Yeah.
And you just played a final 8 in 3 days.
Yeah.
Quarter, semis, finals and Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You had the teams ranked, you know, by a coach's poll.
Right.
And then you played an ultimate championship.
Perfect.
And for boys and girls, and then you had the class champion, and then you had a grand champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what Indiana does as far as, like, you know, back with Hoosiers, which I would like to watch with my daughter one of these days. I think maybe after the NCAA finals, watch Hoosiers.
Perfect. Perfect.
But the idea that, you know, no matter the class, you have a shot to be a state champion.
Yeah.
Don't you think the weekend after the state tournament in basketball, they should have a 3-day grand championship?
Absolutely. Girl, I'm on board. I'm going to tell you
Let's
what right now.
I'm, high five.
Sign me up. Air high five. We're okay, a little too far.
I think that,
we might have some kind of, you know, damage.
Yeah.
The high dollar stuff that's not even mine. I don't want to do that. All right. Yeah. But ultimately, wrapping it up, I love March Madness. I like basketball, but I'm not like, I'm a football guy. Ain't no kidding around. I love football, and it's my favorite sport to watch, period. It's just, it's fantastic. That being said, I love basketball. I do. And March Madness is special. Is something indescribably special about it.
Yeah.
And for all those reasons that we've already named, it's just special. And it's a pretty great time of the year. And I think if you would ask most people, honestly, in the United States, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, okay?
Sure.
Like, what's the most fun sporting playoff system or whatever? I bet you most people would say March Madness. They would say collegiate basketball is the most exciting, more so than the Super Bowl. Hmm. Or the World Series, or the NBA Championship, or all that, you know. I think most people would say that. I really do. Because it's just, it's just, you have so much crammed into such, you know, that first Thursday. I was cleaning out I took the day off because I was cleaning out my shop. But I spent like 90% of the day just glued in front of my TV in my shop that I brought out there just for that purpose watching all the games and being able to watch the four boxes of four different games going. I'm like, you're in sports overload. It's fantastic.
I love it.
And then they start up again tomorrow. You know, that was the opening weekend, mm-hmm. which was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pack. Now here we go Thursday. Now it's just in the evenings. Yeah. So you don't have to take off work anymore. Sad. But Thursday evening, Friday evening, then Saturday, Sunday, and then boom, then we go to the Final Four and all that good stuff. But it's just, it's pretty great. It's my number one. If you pin me down, I would say, yeah, it's my favorite. Because of that, too, the volume of what the Super Bowl is 1 3-hour game.
Yeah, or 4.5, whatever.
Exactly. I guess it was 4.5 this last year. Anyway, how about you? You could say something like the Masters or something. You could totally go rogue and do something like that if you wanted to. I'm okay with it. Hmm. Or you could say, I'll get back to us if you want to take a pass.
I love sports, all spectator sports
I know.
So much.
Yeah.
The Masters and the NBA playoffs as a month-long event would probably be...
Okay.
The NBA playoffs, to me, is a majestic month of basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some years where I tried to watch every game.
Wow.
I mean, I'm watching bits and pieces of for sure every game.
Wow.
I've loved the NBA since I was a little boy. And the month-long joy journey to the championship is just hard for me to beat.
Yeah,
But the Masters, if you were to tell me, Jason, you can watch the Masters or you can watch March Madness or you can watch the month-long NBA Finals, which one would you choose? Uh-huh. I probably would choose the NBA playoffs for if it were a month.
Okay.
But if I were choosing between the Masters and the NBA Finals, I would choose the Masters.
Wow. I will admit to you, I love golf. Mm-hmm. I don't like watching golf all that much. I used to be more into it. Now I'm kind of like, whatever, you know, but I'll get into it occasionally. But when they start playing those Masters commercials and they start playing that music and they start showing shots of Augusta National, right?
Whew.
It gets me going, man.
Goosebumps.
It does. It's because because once again, the storylines, the history, and the storylines associated with that tournament, with that course, mm-hmm. it's special. There's something magical about it. And if you get a good enough storyline in that tournament of like a certain guy or certain guys going at each other or whatever the case is, then it's pure magic, and you will see me glued to it,
this year, like this, and you can't pry me away. With Tiger back in a bifurcated tour with Liv and PGA,
this
will be the first time all the best players are playing against one another.
Wow.
It's storylines galore, buddy.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Cue the music. I need something going into that final round. You know, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the first three rounds, for that matter.
Makes sense.
I don't. But if you get me three guys are going head-to-head and they're within a couple of shots of each other and they're big-name players, oh, it's on. You know, I'm watching because it has built up to that point that there is something intangibly special about that event.
Yeah.
More so than even the U.S. Open or the Open, mm-hmm. as they claim it is.
Yeah.
Psh, whatever. Anyway, that is way too much sports talk. Oof. I promise all of our listeners and my mom. Hey, Mom, she's watching now.
Oh.
Mom, I know you didn't care at all about this. I promise one full month, no sports talk.
Really? The Masters happened.
Well, I can't.
The Masters happened this month.
Okay. One full month, no full-length podcast on sports.
You got it.
We could talk about winners, you know, and just briefly, but we're going to keep it under 10 minutes anytime we talk about for the next month.
At the top of the show.
Or somewhere in there. Okay. I'll, under 10 minutes.
Great.
That's my promise.
Great. I love it.
All right. Well, I hope the sports people at least enjoyed this. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy listening to it. So that's pretty great.
That's great. I love sports.
All right. Until next time.